You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the final hour on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Special treat today. We have Chad from Traeger. He's been here all morning long, and we are whipping up some tailgate food. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
So it's a Meat Friday on Thursday, but there will be a Meat Friday. Just letting you know, I asked Chad if he could stay 2 days to get us ready for college football weekend here. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. We'll talk some college football coming up. You can stream the new Peacock original series Heart to Heart, where host Kevin Hart sits down with today's biggest celebrities for unfiltered conversations. New episodes premiering every week. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up now. There's still the conversation about what's going on with the Packers, the relationship between the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if anything is going to change. I don't know if they make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, don't make the NFC title game. I don't know if anything changes right now. It's just, it's calmed down. It's quieter. And that's what you want. Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be tough enough with the schedule they have. The expectation level is going to be extremely high. But it just feels like everybody needs to go to their neutral corners and let's just now let the season unfold. Brian Gutekunst, though, is on record yesterday talking about his quarterback, Jordan Love, and he thought he had a fantastic camp. That's what he said. He was calm, poised. I thought he was able to get in and get out of the plays. And obviously he had a little bit of a pause in there when he missed some time. He said, I thought for the first live action since his college days at Utah State, I thought to get in and get out. I didn't think the rush bothered him, kept his eyes downfield. I mean, he's saying all these nice things here. It still goes back to, and it'll stay in the back of my mind this entire season. When Eli Manning was on a podcast with LeVar Arrington, and he talked about how quarterbacks know quarterbacks. David Carr, the former NFL quarterback, said, yes, you know right away. Aaron Rodgers knows what Jordan Love is capable of. The Packers know. But as a result, it helps Aaron Rodgers' bargaining power if he thinks Jordan Love is not ready and won't be ready. Aaron Rodgers is playing poker with the Packers, and he knows the cards that the Packers are holding. I don't know if he leverages that to stay another year, 2 years, 3 years, or he just says, hey, good luck. This is the guy you drafted. Now you get the chance to play him. I don't know how much Jordan Love plays this year as well. Is Aaron Rodgers going to willingly come out of games to allow the Packers to see Jordan Love play? I don't know how any of this unfolds, but these are just scenarios that you got to troubleshoot the season. For some of these situations here, whether it's what team brings in Cam Newton, what goes on with the Vikings with their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who won't get vaccinated, what happens with the Titans with their outbreak of COVID, the Buffalo Bills have players who won't get vaccinated. Like, you have to factor these things in. And with the Green Bay Packers, what is next for them? Well, what is next is the opening game against the New Orleans Saints. There shouldn't be any other conversation that comes up. Not, is Aaron happy? You just hope that Aaron Rodgers plays well, and maybe this is the last season you get. Let's say they win. Let's say they go to the Super Bowl. Is Aaron Rodgers more likely to go, thank you, I've given you another Super Bowl. I got two. Brett Favre has one. Thank you. And then you leave? Understand what's going on with the quarterbacking position. Now, you may not like it. I don't. Tom Brady had to wait 20 years to be able to sit at the big table and actually have a conversation, have input in decisions that are made. Russell Wilson had to come on this show and publicly call out the Seahawks to get a seat at the table. Aaron Rodgers had to pout during the entire offseason to get a chance to have a seat at the table. Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. He also wanted to have input on who was going to be hired in the front office and as the head coach. He doesn't have any rings. Mahomes gets a seat at the table. Kyler Murray is being asked. He's been in the league 2 years. He's being asked for his input. If you're a quarterback, you want to have that input. But at what point do I allow you to have that input? Do I want to ask Josh Allen his input in Buffalo? Well, I gave him that huge contract. I guess I have to. But how much input can they possibly have? Unless they played against somebody, maybe they can recruit a free agent for you. That's why I never understood why Brady didn't have any access to making at least suggestions. Use Tom Brady as a recruiting tool, because that's what he was. Players wanted to go to play in New England because of Tom Brady. Not Bill Belichick. Tom Brady. Because Brady was going to give them a chance to win a Super Bowl. And to not utilize that, I never understood that. Now, that doesn't mean star players can assess talent. Michael Jordan famously couldn't do it. But I think if you give a player a heads up, hey, this is what our philosophy is. Hey, we're going into the draft. This is what we're thinking. Just so you're not surprised. I mean, I think that's enough. Do I want you to sit down with our candidates? Do you want to be there when we interview coaching candidates? We bring in 7 coaching candidates. During the pandemic, everybody got interviewed because it was via Zoom. As the starting quarterback, you want to sit in here? Because now you got to sit in on all of them. Like, how involved do you want to be? Aaron Rodgers didn't have any input. Now they're at least listening to him. I don't know if they're truly acting on what he's saying. Like, okay, Randall Cobb. Remember Randall? Oh, my God, they're bringing in Randall Cobb. NFL executives were surprised that the Packers would bring in Randall Cobb. Like, all right, that's not going to change the Packers have good receivers. They do. They got good receivers. But Aaron just wanted to have a say. Or at least let me at least listen to what you're doing. That's all. But I don't know if anything changes. Here's the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, on Aaron Rodgers.
I've had really good conversations throughout camp with Aaron and Matt, and I think the communication has been really, really good. And so as we went into this kind of decision-making period, I think everybody, all the people that are kind of involved in that were very aware of what was going on and why we were doing what we were doing. So I feel really good about that, and the conversations that I've had with Aaron have been excellent.
Okay. That was about 20 seconds of really not saying anything. Other than, let me keep it vague. And we had some good, really good conversations.
Right now, we're really having good, productive conversations. It's really just been a joy having him around and, you know, just getting that dialogue going. It's just really been a treat.
That's Jimmy Jimerson.
Just to reiterate, it's been great having Aaron around. We're just so thankful to have him here. His input has just been phenomenal into the offensive scheme and the dialogue here with the personnel that we're using.
Like, what do you think he's going to say? I haven't had a conversation with Aaron. We had some crappy conversations.
As a matter of fact, he's still ignoring me. So, anyway, next question.
Yeah. He still refers to me as Jerry Krause. Yes, Paul.
We're actually letting Aaron cut all the offensive players this preseason. He has to walk up, bring them upstairs, and actually handle the cutting.
Yeah.
He wanted to be involved. You got it, big fella.
See? That's where you go. How involved do you want to be?
Hey, go ahead, pretty boy. You cut the wide receiver.
You got to go up and tell the tight end he's cut. What? Yeah. You want to be involved?
Yeah.
Like, how involved do you want to be?
Hand him his bus pass.
Yeah, go on in.
How you do this is say, hey, Skippy, bring your playbook.
Yeah.
And then you bring him over to this office and tell him we're letting you go today.
Fritzy brought up a great point.
Are there eclipse today? Is the cicadas in?
I'm sorry.
I'm surprised they were so. Took a couple of seconds.
I know
there.
It did. They were both reaching for the button there. Fritzy. I didn't know how to phrase it, Todd, but
our hands made contact.
It was like where the two fingers point at each other. Was that in like the Sistine Chapel or something? Like that. The fingers connecting right over the breaking news button.
Guys are the worst.
The worst.
Todd said the NFL standings this year, because we're going to 17 games, will resemble a March Madness bracket. You'll have the 1 versus 16, 4, 13, 5, 12, 6, 11, 8, 9, and the 7, 10.
Barring tiebreakers, these are going to be the records of all the teams in the different divisions. It's going to look like the matchups of the seedings of March Madness.
Yeah. Like Texans could be 1 and 16.
You got the 10 against the 7. You got the 6 and 11. You got the 5, 12, the 4, 13.
Oh, you're just getting it now, McLevin?
Yeah, I didn't get it at first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 5-12, that could be the Lions. 9-8 could be the Cowboys.
Your Patriots, 10-7 maybe.
Maybe the Patriots at 10-7. How long did you work on this?
McLevin's giving me the, I'm not impressed at all with that. It's silly. Why did you even bother typing that and sending that around?
I wouldn't exactly consider that advanced analytics, that Ty can do basic math.
It just kind of hit me. It's like these records are all going to be like seedings of March Madness. That's all. I just thought it's kind of fun.
Okay.
I like to play with numbers.
Am I grading on a curve, McLevin, with Todd? Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
But I'm such an idiot. I'm like, well, there are only 16 teams in a bracket, and there's 17 games, so this doesn't make any sense. Then I'm like, oh, but if you put them against each other, which I still can't wrap my head around.
Yes, Seton.
We should run this by any one of our guests for tomorrow's show.
Oh, no.
Look at that.
He was busy crunching the numbers.
I was.
Yeah, it's okay. Todd, soon as the show ends, and I walk out. Now, sometimes
you love when I attack you the second the shows are. So what are we thinking about tomorrow? I'm thinking maybe this guy, that guy, that guy.
Because I get done with the show, then I have some recordings, like commercial reads, and so I have about 5 minutes there, and then I'm spent.
You've just entertained the nation for 3 hours. The last thing you need is me in your face going, so about the show in 21 hours from now.
And I walk outside to the other side where the Danettes are. And then I know Todd is going to pick his spot, because I'm done with the show. And, you know, it's been 3 hours. It's live. And I start to walk towards the gym, to walk outside just to get fresh air. And then I'll take 3 steps. And Todd will go.
It's a daily angst that I have of when I can address this.
Yes, I know. And Todd will go, I got a couple of names I want to run by you. And then I'll keep walking because I just don't want to hear that. But I know you have to do your job.
I'll even add, like, I'll make it really quick.
Yes,
right? For some reason, I feel a need. I have to say that I could probably do this in 30 seconds or less if you let me.
Yeah, Paul.
But like yesterday, for example, Todd gave 2 names. And then as you're walking out the door here, and then Pat 40 would be good for it. And then he stops at the end of Pat 40 would be good. He's coming.
And then I'll look at Paul and go like, so do you think he does want that person on, or he's not interested?
What, you know what? I want you guys to decide.
That doesn't work.
Like I can be the tiebreaker.
That's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
I know.
It's only been 14 years that we've been juggling that one. It's never going to happen.
I know.
It is a special treat, though, to sit here and have you watch you walk through the door into here and Todd be like, hey, I just wanted to run a couple of guests right, and just watch you walk right past them through back out into the kitchen.
I'm spent.
Hey, I was just going to say, can we do this?
It's not, like not a, I'll be right back, or give me 5 minutes so I know you want to go over a few days. Just walk it past me like I'm a ghost.
I know eventually I'll get to it.
I know you will, too. And it's that kind of like... we should give you a little bit more of a break after entertaining a nation for 3 hours to go do what you have to do instead of immediately going, okay, what about tomorrow? What about the next day? So I can appreciate that.
But if you know I need a break, then why do you continue to do it?
Because I'm very obsessive, compulsive, and anal, and I want to check the box. And I don't want to drag Paul into it too, but I think he's of the same mindset. Let's no time like the present to get a jump on tomorrow and maybe kick around a few names. Which isn't a terrible thing.
It's a tough situation because you've just done 3 and you're ready to stop talking and stop hearing something. But Todd must do it. He has to do it.
Why don't you just ask the audience?
Why don't you send out like tweets and Facebook messages?
Just say, hey, we're thinking about, what do you think?
Well, they'll say, how about Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning?
No, I know.
Yeah, how about it, though?
And that's what I say, too. Yeah, how about it, Todd?
Why not? Let's do that show.
Working on it.
A lot of effort going on.
Fortunately, it's not that easy. You just send an email people think I have this magic ability to do
that. Todd will sometimes go, there's a chance we could get And then I'll go on the air and say, yeah, and Todd says we're going to have Tiger Woods tomorrow.
And Paul has warned me about that many years ago back in the Bristol cubicle days. Why would you even bring that up unless it's definite? Because then he's going to just like think it's happening and then he's going to be disappointed or he's going to promote it on the air. Just like wait for it to happen instead of saying maybe this guy or there's a chance that guy.
I know, but you always have to, it feels like you have to have an update for me. You got to tell me something that
I do. I feel compelled to do
like,
that.
Like I don't think you're working. I know you're working. I do.
It's an insecurity that I have. But I'll say, like, you know, maybe next week, Ben Roethlisberger, then all of a sudden you're, and Ben Roethlisberger will be joining us today, and then Paul will turn around his chair going, see, that's what you get.
When I walk out of here in 45 minutes, what are you going to say?
I'm going to say you've just spent 3 hours entertaining a nation, and a little bit later on today we can discuss some names. In the meantime, enjoy some nice barbecue that Chad flew all the way in to make this lovely Meat Thursday and Meat Friday.
But you don't have to say anything.
I have to say something. I don't like the quiet.
How about this? Hey, great show.
Oh, interesting.
Man, it's really, really, really rare when you've said that. You've never.
But I've told you why that is. Never, why we assume it's going to be a great show and all the interviews are going to be great. You're going to ask great questions.
You've never initiated.
I should do. But you don't need a pat on the back like I do. We've addressed this. These guys are all, you guys are all very strong-minded,
confident
people.
Who doesn't need it?
You guys don't need it as much as I need it.
Yeah, see.
What if you just let Todd book the show?
Yes. Oh, no, because well, I've...
No, why not? He's the best booker in the business. Why don't you just let Todd book the show, and then when he comes in, be like, all right, who do we have today? And it's going to be, these are the people we're talking to on these stories, and this is why.
Okay, he...
That would make things a lot easier.
He texted me last night to has an actor on the show.
Oh, that I saw on TikTok.
Yeah, so it's an actor that you wouldn't think. Chaz
Palminteri. Went off on the whole Baez thumbs up, thumbs down booing thing compared to the Yankees.
Yeah, but it's 1990s Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah, but he's a historic figure in all these gangster movies. And he kind of got really angry about that. He made this interesting Mets-Yankees analogy about booing players.
Yes, Paul.
I'm going to just wrap it up this way if I could. Our imperfect... frustrating, annoying booking system.
No, I thought you meant booker.
Is no. Our system that we have, which is imperfect, frustrating, annoying, is not changing ever, and we should move on. It is what it is until the end of this show.
Because what happens is I have to cancel people and stuff.
I'm a realist, not a dreamer. This is our system.
Just let him book it.
Never going to happen.
Do you guys want to let Todd book the show for tomorrow?
Nope.
You know, remember when they chanted, let them play?
Yeah.
Let them Todd book.
Oh, let Todd book.
Let Todd book.
Okay. All right. Friday. You tell us. Don't text me. Don't do anything. You tell
me. Really what you want to
yeah,
do?
Yeah. Let me see what you can do.
It's a complete mystery what guests we're having on the show tomorrow.
How's
just
that?
Walk in, morning meeting, be like, all right, here we go.
So there's going to be no questions about why this
let
one
me just
or
see. Let me see
what you, that guy
let
or,
me see.
Yes.
You go through all the websites, watch ESPN, get the landscape of sports and or entertainment, and you book the show. You produce it.
But what about, you guys aren't going to have this urge to go, like, why him or why her? Why at that time slot? How is that a first hour guest? That should be a third hour guest.
I'm not going to question anything. I'm going to let Todd, you know, it's like let Russ cook. I'm going to let Todd book.
There you go. Exactly. Let Russ cook. Let Todd book.
All right, let me take a break. We're going to talk some college football coming up with Pat Forty. He's going to join us.
This is the best.
Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. M Drive. Man, I'm going to need some more M Drive tomorrow because I got to be ready to go. Who knows what Todd's going to provide here. M Drive's clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle and giving you the energy you need to fight back against aging every single day.
925 Sean Salisbury.
I'm going to be aging tomorrow. That's for sure.
Could very well happen.
MDriveDan.com. Try it for yourself this month only. Take 20% off your first order. Promo code Dan. Get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose. Aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. M-Drive helps you perform at your best with top-level T support. Join a community of driven guys like me who refuse to let age slow them down. Visit MDriveDan.com to get more energy, lean muscle, and healthy T support that your body needs. Take 20% off with the promo code Dan. That's MDriveDan.com. Don't let age beat you. Visit MDriveDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Coming up, the top 25 party schools in America. Who ranked these, Paulie?
A few different websites, but there's a college website called Niche that ranks colleges for all different categories.
Okay. So this is just party schools?
Yes, for the 2021-22 school year.
Hmm. What do they base this on?
They base it on student perception, amount of bars in a town, amount of fraternities and sororities. They do campus surveys.
Hmm.
Investigate.
What I found very interesting was no matter what university my kids were looking at, we would hear the same thing. Oh, that's party school. I'm like, every school is a party school. Am I going to be surprised at the number one party school in America?
No, because of the city or town that it's in. That's the hint.
Okay, that is the hint. This guy knows all about campus, all about partying. Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated senior writer. Where did you go to college, Pat?
University of Missouri, an above average partying school, I would say. I don't know how high we will rank on this list.
Did you have a famous classmate at Missouri?
Well, there was this guy, he was in journalism school and he dropped out 3 hours short of graduation. I'm not sure what became of him, but his name was Brad Pitt.
he was in journalism?
Yeah, he was in advertising at Missouri.
Did you have classes with Brad Pitt?
If I did, I didn't know it. You know, I might have. I tried to stay away from the ad classes, but, you know, we might have had some of those, you know, history and principles of journalism class.
What did you make of week zero for college football? Why did we have to have week zero?
So that Nebraska fans could absolutely lose their minds. That's why we had to have week zero. That was really the only major takeaway from it is, oh, my gosh, what a disastrous start for Nebraska. And I gave the Big Ten credit. They have given us stuff to watch early with that game and then with a bunch of good games this weekend. So we're not sitting around watching, you know, Big Ten schools against directional U. But that was a bad start for Nebraska.
Is the Heisman Spencer Rattler's to lose?
I think that might be a little too simple, but you know what? You plug him in at the way he ended last year. If that carries over and he has that second year bump up like Baker Mayfield did, his numbers should be spectacular. And if they win their games, then he would be a logical favorite. But I think you look at Sam Howell at North Carolina, and there's going to be, you know, somebody's going to put up a bunch of stats for Ohio State. Somebody's going to put up a bunch of stats for Alabama. Maybe do DJ Uiagalelei at Clemson. So there's some other alternatives for now.
Ohio State kicks off its season against Minnesota. What other other intriguing games do you have this weekend?
That one's super intriguing. You know, Thursday night we've got some stuff, but Friday we have North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and then Saturday so much. I mean, LSU at UCLA, and LSU was displaced by Hurricane Ida. You know, how prepared are they to go into the Rose Bowl to play Chip Kelly's best team? Miami brings a lot of confidence and experience in against an inexperienced Alabama offense. We'll see if they can keep it close. And then I'm going to Georgia-Clemson, which is a big-time heavyweight game, but both sides could have COVID issues there. We'll see if there are players missing on both sides.
If I said that you could have Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, or everybody else in America for the national title, would you take those three or an outlier?
I would probably take those three since my top two going into the season were Alabama and Ohio State. That said, I don't think they're way above Georgia and Oklahoma. But I still, you know, past history and recruiting, I would put those three. Certainly, if you're going to give me those three, I'd take them.
Who is the most intriguing player slash person in college football this year?
I'm going to say Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama. He has not played a meaningful snap yet, and he's gotten 6-7 figures in endorsements. He steps into a position that, as we have seen, has produced three straight NFL starters. First-round guys that are, you know, gone on to do well. And he's got a new offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, coming from the NFL. You know, does it work the way it has the last several years at Alabama. He's a super talent, but again, haven't seen him do it at the college level yet.
The most intriguing coach this season in college football is?
Steve Sarkisian, Texas, stepping in. They spent a lot of money to get rid of Tom Herman. They just made one of the most audacious moves in the history of college athletics to jump to the SEC. And while they're not in there yet, that's the context for this season. And Sark, he's coming from the Alabama rehab mode there, where they recycle coaches and give them a second chance. And we'll see, is he a better coach than he was at USC and at Washington? Because he was okay there, but he wasn't great. Can he get Texas up to a level where they can go into the SEC and compete eye to eye with people?
You have the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12. This is sort of, they're in the on-deck circle, just like Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. But it feels like there are so many questions and not any answers with this alliance here, that they just want to be able to say, hey, we got veto power with these three conferences against the SEC. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out of, is there another shoe to drop with this, or is it just sort of going to move along at a snail's pace?
I think that there were some, obviously some huge action and significant reaction, but mostly I think this was them saying, hey, we all need to do something here. We're not sure exactly what we're doing yet, but we got to do something. And so this alliance, what it does, it gives a proactive win to three relatively new commissioners who need something to show their constituency, like, hey, we're on top of this. Secondly, I think the biggest thing it does is try to slow down an ESPN SEC power play and say, we're not voting for your expanded playoff if it's all going to be an ESPN property, because two of our conferences, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, are closely aligned with Fox, and we don't want to give everything have everything continue to be with ESPN, especially now that you have even made it very clear that SEC gets most favored nation status with that network. So I think this is as much a way to stop an ESPN/SEC move to just have even more influence over the way college football is run.
I'm surprised that the SEC didn't reach out to Oregon, USC, unless we didn't hear about it, but I would have truly had a SEC East and an SEC West, and you could have put Texas and Oklahoma in with USC and Oregon and Washington and Arizona State. Do you think that Greg Sankey reached out to those schools?
I wouldn't be shocked if he did. As you said, I mean, if you're going to go big, why not go humongous? Okay. I mean, you've gone to 16. Yeah. What's to stop you now from continuing to go further and just try to do everything you can to put even your one competitor, really, which is the Big Ten, in terms of revenue and fan bases and all that stuff, even further behind? The one thing, though, I mean, the Pac-12 is different. We know that. And USC, as much as they like football and want to be back to being prominent in football, it's also a pretty serious academic institution, as is most of the states, all the Pac-12 schools in the state of California. And I'm not sure they're ready to just say, okay, let's make this incredibly different move just for football reasons.
Well, that's what I wondered about the Big Ten. That does the Big Ten pick off a couple of schools? I mean, it didn't go well with Rutgers and Nebraska and Maryland, but do you, I wouldn't be sitting back waiting, but I don't know if this is the right move for the Big Ten to be in bed with the ACC, sort of be in bed with the ACC and the Pac-12.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing you look at is, why are they doing it? Because they don't necessarily need the other two, whereas the other two need the Big Ten more. But I think your point of veto power of three versus one is significant there. The other thing, and again, I just think most of these schools look at this more as an academic alignment at the presidential level. Who are we aligned with academically? And now that's where you could see the Big Ten saying, yeah, we'd like to align with those California schools. And sure, give us Virginia and North Carolina. And hey, Notre Dame, maybe, that wouldn't shock me if it ends up going that way. I do think we seem headed towards an era of the power schools in each conference exerting themselves a little bit more. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State saying, you know what? We should be getting more money than Illinois and Purdue and Iowa and USC and Oregon, those saying maybe the same thing out there. I just think that we're going to see schools trying to at least flex their muscles for either a better arrangement within their conference or to get out of their conference and go join other powerhouse schools.
I know you were at the Olympics. You were working, but your daughter was swimming for the United States. What was it like to go to watch? Were you covering your daughter in her event when she was swimming?
Fortunately, no. We had somebody else there from Sports Illustrated to handle coverage that night. And so I got to just watch as a bite your lip fan in the middle of the media seating. Cause there was no fans to go sit with, anything like that. So, I mean, I am there I was cheering in the press box. I was violating that rule. Let's be clear about that. But
feeling like though? Your daughter is swimming in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And you see
surreal.
You see her dive in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't – I fail to find the right words for it. But just to see her come out on the pool deck with her relay teammates wearing the Stars and Stripes cap and it says 40 on the side. It's like, that is my kid that I've watched swim since she was 5 years old in the little neighborhood meets, you know, and through elementary school, high school, college, and now the pinnacle. It was overwhelming. It was extremely emotional. And then as soon as she was done, I ran down to the mix zone where you can actually interact with your athletes. Now, we were separated by barriers because of COVID restrictions, but just to be there with her right after that moment, that's a lifetime highlight for sure.
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't right there with her, but as soon as she left the room, yeah, then the waterworks started. And I cried like 8 times when she made the team at Olympic trials.
You're a softie.
I am. I admit it.
Hey, great to talk to you as always. We'll check in with you during the season. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated. All right, Paulie, you want to do the party schools here?
Yeah, some of the usual suspects, but the number one party school ranked for this season.
Wait a minute. So you're going to give me a hint. Number one party school in America.
It's a town where you would definitely go to be festive. A city.
Festive.
Yeah, festive.
Number one party school, and it's a city where you
do. Not necessarily great sports, good sports, but not like a great football school.
Christmas, Michigan.
Tulane University, New Orleans. They said it's hard not to party there. That's the description.
That's New Orleans.
Number two is Florida State University. They're a staple. Another staple. Number three, University of Wisconsin. Good town.
Yeah, I've witnessed that.
Yeah. Good town, good bars. Yeah. The whole town is a party. A few more thrown in there. Alabama is in the top 10. Georgia in the top 10. Fritzy, Syracuse University, number 7.
7, really? A top 10 party school.
Yeah, your son.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's going on up there.
University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, U of I.
Well, it's got champagne in it, so right. It's got to be a party school.
University of Southern California. They said it's actually much improved as a party school the past generation.
Improved?
Yeah, whatever that means, they don't say.
I will say when you go down Fraternity Row at USC, you see houses that look like Animal House, and then you'll see the sororities that look like the Beverly Hillbillies, like their mansion, and you're going, there was a sorority. My daughter was in a sorority where they had a chef in the sorority house. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Number 10 on the list is, and this school is voted one of the hardest to graduate in under 4 years. 4 years or under, West Virginia.
Let's go. Let's go.
A new one on the list, Penn State hasn't been there in a while.
All right. If you're a president or a chancellor at one of these universities, are you... How do you react when you see these rankings?
It's a must-lie situation. You say, well, our focus is on academics and the well-being of the students, yeah. But being a party school means a lot of people are going to apply to your school. Oh, I went to Southern Illinois University, which was always in the top 10, top 20 over the years, and they distanced themselves from it, and people went down. People stopped going there a little bit.
Same with Dayton, where I went. That Dayton was... I think put in the Hall of Fame. They didn't rank him anymore.
Emeritus?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, they were trying to be sort of an Ivy League of the Midwest, and they've done a really nice job, but they sort of wanted to take out the partying aspect of it.
I'll give you a couple more. This is always a top 20. Ohio University.
Oh, yeah.
In Athens, Ohio, they said, you'll be shocked at the level of partying at what you think is a small school.
I went there for Halloween one time, and a bar caught fire.
That's good. That's how you make the list.
Yeah.
Imagine if you went to some of these places, though, and like the definition for partying was way off, and it was actually like balloons and streamers everywhere in a bounce house. And like, it's like a kid's birthday party everywhere. Yeah. This place is the best.
Yeah, little ponies.
Yeah.
Iowa's in the top 20. Indiana's in the top 20. Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, in the top 20.
Okay.
University of Mississippi. I went to visit there once in college. I almost didn't come back. That's how good it was.
Yeah.
UT Austin, Michigan State, rounding out the top 20.
Yeah, but you know what? Per capita, University of Dayton would blow away these
PPP, others. Party per person.
Yes. All right, let me take a break. Chad's been here all morning long.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for.
Yes. Chad came in. He kicked Tyler to the curb, and so... Todd, you're booking for tomorrow, so you probably can't eat.
I'm pretty busy.
Yeah.
And I got to remember not to bring food into the studio like I did last
week. Yeah, you're not allowed to. No food on the air.
Find a spot in the back somewhere.
So Chad has been cooking. He came in from Traeger, and professionals in the house. So I don't know what he has out there. I just know it has smelled great all morning long. Last call for phone calls. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls. And we just took some burgers off the Traeger, baked beans, caramelized onions. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Man. Chad from Traeger knows what he's doing. Woo. All right. Let's see. This day in sports history. You got games coming up tonight. Todd is booking the show tomorrow. We will have no input whatsoever. Paulie and I normally have input throughout the day and the night and the next morning. I don't want to be CC'd on anything. No text, no emails, nothing.
Gotcha.
All right. So Todd will book, and there is going to be no argument. Right?
I shouldn't communicate with anybody on the staff about guests.
No, you shouldn't. If you're just going to book, that's all.
If I have a question, I should just keep that to myself.
Well, what kind of question are you going to have?
If I'm on the fence with somebody, or if it's between two people covering a certain
decide.
Topic. Okay, that's fine.
You're always on the fence. So then you wait for us to tell you yes or no. Now you have total autonomy.
And none of those guests would have to be canceled because for whatever reason you didn't think that was the right fit. That's the other part of it.
No, that's possible. I still have to put on a good show. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't do anything crazy, but that would put me in an awkward position to have to cancel somebody at the last minute because we didn't go through the vetting process.
99% of the people you're going to book, that I would be fine.
Okay.
Like there could be one where I go, no, I don't want John Hall from Hall & Oates. Okay, I don't.
That's disappointing.
Now you got to cancel him, don't you?
I do have to get back to John Oates and say maybe another time.
But he is a big SEC fan.
Yes, there's a connection there.
Yeah.
Week one coming up.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Let me see. Greg in Phoenix. Greg, what's on your mind today?
Dan, first time ever calling into a radio show. Second time you and I have spoken.
All right.
And I have a limerick for Fritzy's mock headlines.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
A limerick for Todd's mock headlines?
Yeah.
This is like, what's that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where everything is like crossing over?
Inception?
Inception,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's Greg in Phoenix with his limerick based off Todd's mock. What?
Perloff, did you used to write a column for CNN SI?
Yeah.
I knew I recognized that ugly mug. I knew it. Anyway, moving on. After the headline is read, close your cheek. Don't explain it. We get it. Don't speak. To be quiet, you are unwilling. You're going to drive Seaton off a building. But at least Pauly told Costner he was past his peak.
All right.
All right, then.
Thank you, Greg. All right. Nice reference points there. Ryan in Honolulu is joining us.
Hello, Dan! All right, let's get limericked right here.
Oh, another limerick? Okay.
Well, first of all, Chad from Traeger grilling in the man cave today. What a legend.
Yes.
I thought you had a big kitchen, Dan. Then I saw Chad in there. Chad is large. Yes. Better than life.
Do you have your limerick, Ryan?
I sure do. Okay. It's a McLovin limerick.
All right.
McLovin was late for work. Road raging and going berserk. To blame it on flooding. It's just like me loving to miss the first hour of the show. What a jerk.
You're right.
Thank you. Aggressive.
That's right. That's right. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hi, Jesse. Hopefully you don't have a limerick.
Hey, DP. No, I stay out of the Linception. But it is a beautiful Thursday. UCLA, a very underrated party school. A little disappointed USC is ahead of us on that list, but I certainly didn't get cheated. But hey, the Dodgers take over first in the NL West, just like the mayor predicted on yesterday's show. Incredible guest. He always is. And the levity of his stories kind of makes me wish Bob Uecker was on the show again. So maybe since Frenchie has no guest, he can reach out to him. But the real reason I'm calling, Dan, is because I have drafted a bio for Mr. James Jimmy Jimerson III from birth through high school, Wikipedia style, and I want to know where I can submit it because I don't have Twitter or Facebook.
Marvin will get your information, Jesse, and then we'll get the official, unofficial bio of our NFL insider, Jimmy Jimerson. So thank you, Jesse. We look forward to reading the bio. Yes, Paul?
James Joseph Jimerson.
Jr. III.
But you can call me Jimmy.
All right. Thank you. Jesse mentioned Dodgers used a pair of eighth inning runs to rally past the Braves, move past the Giants into sole possession of first place in the National League West, and then those two teams going to meet coming up this weekend. Paulie, this day in sports history.
Quick one. Speaking of Dodgers, 03, Eric Gagne of the Los Angeles Dodgers established a major league record with his 55th consecutive save.
Okay.
Then there's a bunch like Sammy Sosa got his 60th home run and Mark McGwire and blah, blah, blah.
Do you know the Miami Dolphins' first ever regular season game was on this day in 1966? They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. First play for the Miami Dolphins, 1966. Mm-hmm. Joe Auer, or R, A-U-E-R, returned the opening kickoff, but they lost to the Raiders that day, 23-14. Paulie, who's on the, do you know who's on the show? Oh, no, let me ask Fritzy. Fritzy, who's on the show tomorrow?
Nobody just yet.
Okay.
The efforting continues.
All righty. What did you learn on today's program?
That you and Peter King absolutely believe the Patriots will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I do. McLovin, what did you learn?
America is chanting, let him book. Let him book.
Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Is a grassroots movement. Let Todd book. Spreading like wild.
Mm-hmm. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Tomorrow's going to be a wild scene, man.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz GLE. Look no further for the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, leader in innovation and intelligence. Not seen from an SUV. Learn more. MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. One more item as we close out the show, and summer's coming to an end. It's an important time for everybody to get plenty of sleep, but even more important for the kids going back to school. And some tips for you parents: keep their room cool somewhere between 65 and 68 degrees, maybe a fan in there or white noise. Or you can always call up McLovin and let him talk about his favorite teams. Hey, loves talking about the Eagles or the 76ers. That'll put your kiddies to sleep, but not everybody can turn to McLovin. Thankfully, you can turn to Sleep Number. It's a great time to discover the Sleep Number 360 smart bed because it's the biggest sale of the year. All the beds are on sale. Save 50% on that new limited edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Once again, biggest sale of the year. Make sure you ask about that Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Ask about the Sleep Number Sleep IQ technology. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details.